All right, here we go. It is time for the scoop. John, the Houston Astros cheating scandal may lead to a dismantling of the team. Buster Olney of ESPN has reported there is a perception the Astros are facing an exodus of stars due in large part to reaction to the team's sign-stealing scandal. George Springer, Yuli Gurriel, Michael Brantley, Josh Reddick all slated to become free agents this winter. While it was unlikely the Astros would bring them all back under normal circumstances, players appear ready to rid themselves of the cheater label. They could all be gone. Is this proof that the Astros are tainted forever? And even if these guys leave, again, it's Springer, Gurriel, Brantley, Reddick, can they outrun all of the cheating allegations?
No, this is their legacy forever. I don't think they'll ever win the fan vote for an all-star game thing anymore. I think their days of getting any commercial endorsements are over. They can run, but they can't hide. I mean, this Mace, when I say Jose Altuve, if we're playing word association, the first word you come back at me with is cheater.
Yep.
Alex Bregman hit, 50 home runs last year. First word you'd come back with is cheater. Yeah, I mean, Justin Verlander's going to the Hall of Fame. He didn't even hit. He didn't bang on trash cans. Cheater.
But he knew about it.
Right.
Yeah.
They're now associated with cheating. I had this conversation with Michael last night. Vlade Divac. You know, Vlade had a great career in the NBA.
Sure.
He was a successful executive. His legacy is now two things. One, he was traded for Kobe, and two, he passed on Luka Doncic. That's it. The Astros underestimated how big this story would be. That's their legacy. You agree?
Yeah, I don't think they will ever outrun it. George Springer, Yuli Gurriel, Josh Reddick, Michael Brantley, Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman goes on and on. Those names are branded with the Scarlet C for cheater.
Matter of fact, Mace, if we were playing, you remember that old game, $100,000 pyramid?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, remember when you go to the bonus round, like you're sitting in a chair with your back to a board, and then I'm trying to get you to say things that are blank.
Right.
And you could say, if the question was people who cheat, I literally would just start listing those guys, and you would go, people who cheat. I would go, Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman, Barry Bonds. You'd go right away. You just go, people who cheat.
Yeah,
that's their legacy.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yep, can't outrun it, but it'll be interesting to see if the Astros do break up under these circumstances. George Springer would be a big blow, losing George Springer.
All right, Mace. One of the bright young stars in the NBA is Devin Booker.
Yeah.
The all-star guard for the Phoenix Suns. Booker is only 23 and considered to be an up-and-coming star who might team with Luka Doncic to form the West all-star backcourt for years after guys like Steph, James Harden, Klay Thompson, and Damian Lillard go into their 30s. Booker is dating Kendall Jenner, the supermodel who is the younger half-sister of Kim and Khloe Kardashian. Every NBA player who has dated a Kardashian has shortly thereafter dropped off a cliff.
Yes.
Lamar Odom, Chris Humphries, Tristan Thompson, Blake Griffin, Ben Simmons, all on this list. Serious question. Let's say you're a Suns fan. Would you be worried that Devin Booker, whose talent is undeniable, I'm not criticizing Booker the player, he's great. Would you be worried that Devin Booker and Kendall Jenner are together?
100% would. I mean, I don't think it's anything about those people individually. Like, I'm sure Kendall Jenner's a very nice person. I'm just guessing. But you put that many cameras around somebody and you start living your life under constant attention and everything you do and say winds up on TV. You wind up on red carpets, at promotional events, all stuff that takes away from what Devin Booker does 6 months a year, all of it. So I would be very concerned. This is the Rihanna effect. This is what Rihanna did to Matt Kemp. This is what Kardashians have done to multiple players. I would be very worried if I was a Suns fan about Devin Booker dating Kendall Jenner.
Hey, Lindsay, how do you feel about that? Do you agree with Mason?
Yes and no. I mean, they started off as just, you know, people who were famous for not doing anything. But I think that they've, I don't know. I feel like they're kind of legitimate celebrities now, and you can't be too mad at them.
Well, yeah, but I mean, would you, if you were a Suns fan, Would you be worried that Devin Booker and Kendall Jenner are dating?
No.
You wouldn't.
I think that the, like, the hatred towards them is kind of trickled off a little bit,
but,
I guess.
But think about it. I'm not saying the hatred. I'm saying all the attention that goes
right
along with it.
You're
is
saying
a distraction.
That it comes with a cost.
I think that has, I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's kind of gone away a little bit. I feel like, I guess you can't be too mad about it. But then again, I don't know. I guess I was, as a Cavs fan, I was a little disturbed by Khloe Kardashian with Tristan Thompson. So maybe I'm just being
by it.
Yeah,
Jorge, what do you think?
We forgot about Reggie Bush, guys. Reggie Bush was another one.
I would
be concerned, yes.
Yes,
no way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I will say this. We've had Kim and Khloe both on the show. And
don't
they
even
both
remember it.
Could not have been nicer.
You tell me people we've had on the show that I don't remember all the time.
Oh, my God. You went on a rant one day that we had never had Magic Johnson on this show, and we played back three different interviews we'd done with Magic that you were involved in.
But I'm willing to bet that you cannot find an interview with us and Kim Kardashian.
Oh, not only did we do it, while we were doing it, I was telling her how much I liked the show. And she said, well, you're on it right now because the cameras are filming me talking to you guys. You don't remember
really?
That?
I don't have any recollection of that. No. Yeah. Either you make stuff up or I've got a terrible memory. And
no.
I'm guessing it has some. There's,
it's
there's
B,
some.
Trust me.
No, I think it's a mix of the two. I think sometimes you're making stuff up and sometimes I'm misremembering.
When you said Magic Johnson had never been in the show, we found three clips and played them for you and you still didn't remember it.
Yeah, in that case, I misremembered. But in this case, I think you're making it up.
She's absolutely been on the show. And Bergman, if you're listening, find the Kim Kardashian interview.
Yeah, find that Kim Kardashian interview, that up close and personal. All right, Oscar De La Hoya told ESPN on Wednesday that he will return to the ring at the age of 47. This was last Wednesday, 12 years after his last fight. The 11-time titleist confirmed he's ready to end his retirement at the age of 47. The rumors are true, he says. I'm going to start sparring in the next few weeks. De La Hoya, 39 and 6 with 30 KOs, added that he will not be engaging in an exhibition fight like fellow retired champions Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. He is going to actually come back and try to fight for real. John, would you buy an Oscar De La Hoya comeback fight?
Two words. Hell no. This is a horrible idea. Yep. I used to love to go to Oscar's fights. Oscar's a great guy. He's a great interview. Oscar, you don't need this, man.
No.
You don't need the money. You don't need the attention. And you don't need to get your head bashed in.
Dude, you already got the statue at Staples Center. Come on, man.
Somebody talk to De La Hoya and talk him out of this. His legacy is set. He doesn't need this. And Mace, the thing about guys going into boxing is some of the smartest boxers we ever talked to have dementia now because they get their head beat in.
Sure.
Oscar, you don't need this. Please, somebody that cares about this guy, talk him out of it.
All right. One more, John?
Yeah, I got it. Mace, the New York Post announced last week a multi-platform partnership with Jalen Rose that covers print, digital, video, and podcasts. Under the heading of Renaissance Man, his weekly column will be available in print and on digital starting this fall, along with video and audio content. Jalen will continue to work at ESPN. This is interesting because the New York Post is owned by News Corp, Rupert Murdoch's company that also owns Fox News. Most NBA players, current and former, have been very outspoken against Fox News, especially Laura Ingraham. But really, the whole network. Laura was famous for the shut up and dribble that she said to NBA players. It got me to thinking. If News Corp offered to buy your podcast, the Steve Mason Culture Pop podcast, would you work with those guys? Or is that so off-brand for you that you would pass?
Well, it's completely off-brand because we do not mention, just like here on Mason in Ireland, there is not a word of politics on the Culture Pop podcast. So I can't imagine how I would fit. And no, I would not sell my podcast in a partnership with News Corp.
What if Jalen isn't going to talk politics? He's just going to do all his other stuff and these guys are just willing to pay him.
Okay, so I get paid.
Right.
And I'm doing a podcast.
The way you want. You have full editorial control. But you are working for the guys that own Fox News and employ Laura Ingraham.
Well, John, as a one-time Fox News Channel contributor, I did about a year as a regular contributor on Martha McCallum's show.
That's directly into the lion's mouth.
Directly into it. I would probably do it. And by the way, I would do it with, you know, LZ's got the LA Times. Jalen's got the New York Post. I would be available to the Southern California News Group.
Okay. Mace, how sure are you that Kim Kardashian never appeared on our show?
I am.
Mythical Money sure?
No. No, what you obviously mean? Have tape of this.
George, hit it.
710 ESPN, 710ESPN.com. There is one woman who right now is the most famous woman in the world, who gets discussed on our show more than anybody else.
Uh-huh.
And she joins us now, Kim Kardashian on the Mason and Ireland show. Wow. Kim, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Kim, we really appreciate you doing this. First of all, you know, Steve considers
Mason,
himself.
Mason, seriously, nice. I have a serious question.
Yeah.
How much weed do you smoke? Because you can, I mean, every time this comes up, I say, we've had Magic on multiple times. You say, we have never had him on the show.
Never had him.
Lindsay, how convinced was Mason 5 minutes ago that we had never had Kim on this show?
100%.
Yeah. What is wrong with you? I'm not making this stuff up.
John, I've been doing radio since I was 15 years
Correct.
Old.
Correct. So why do you go out on these limbs where you say, she's never been on the show? Chances are you've interviewed everybody.
I've probably done 20,000 shows
Correct.
In my
so
career.
Stop saying you've never had somebody on the show.
I can't possibly remember every one of them.
Then don't say they've never been on the show because
then we lose the friggin' bit.
The chances are they. Mate, seriously, trust me when I say this. 90% chance, whoever it is, you've interviewed him. You've been doing this for 40 years.
Yeah.
Chances
Nicholson,
are.
Did we ever get Nicholson?
I've interviewed him.
Yeah, I have not. Has he been on the show?
Greg Bergman set up an interview with Nicholson for me.
I wouldn't remember if Nicholson had been on
you
the show.
You absolutely would not.
Yeah. You think I wouldn't remember Jack Nicholson?
You didn't remember Kim Kardashian. You didn't remember Magic Johnson. And we had him on three times.
All right.
Who was on yesterday, Mace?
Yesterday, we had. That's a very good question.
By the way, George, excellent work.
Excellent work. Yesterday on the show, we had. Let's see, not Ramona's. We had we didn't have Ben Golliver because he couldn't make it. Damn, I cannot remember anybody from the show yesterday.
Mike
Wilbon.
Who
the hell was on this show? Michael Wilbon, that's right.
Yeah, how do you forget Michael Wilbon?
Oh, one of the greats.
Yeah, it's the donuts or it's the weed, but you have no recollection.
Let me tell you, it's not the donuts. I am now 24 hours without sugar.
That a boy.
24 hours.
See how long it lasts.
It's going to be easy. Going to be easy. All right, coming up next for you, Lakers blow the doors off Portland last night. 877-710-ESPN. Does anybody beat the Lakers now? If that team shows up, can anybody beat that team? And do you have any concerns at all? What is the weakness for this Lakers team as they advance? And by the way, tomorrow night they will play what should be a closeout game against the Blazers. No Damian Lillard. He has been ruled out for tomorrow night's game. 4 o'clock pregame, 6 o'clock tip right here on 710 ESPN. 877-710 ESPN. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
ESPN. Yeah, 710 ESPN, Mason, Ireland, what is up? John, asteroid news.
Really?
Yep, there's an asteroid coming for Earth right before Election Day. This story comes from Yahoo News. a car-sized asteroid called 2018 VP1 will swing past Earth on November the 2nd, the day before the election. There's just a 0.41% chance of it hitting Earth. But there is a 0.41% chance of an asteroid hitting Earth.
Hey,
are you kidding me?
Let me tell you something. In 2020, those percentages go way up.
I know. 0.41% is pretty high.
I used to live in Beaumont, Texas. And yes. Right now, they're about to be hit by not one, but two hurricanes.
I know.
Converging hurricanes into the Gulf. It's just 2020 needs to go away and go away now.
Yeah, it's been brutal.
Yeah,
brutal.
Good job. All right, let's go to the phones. We want you to react to the Laker game last night. I personally, I've obviously seen every Laker game. I think that was an announcement to the rest of the league that the Lakers are now officially the team to beat. Here's Victor in Oxnard. Hey, Victor, you're on 710 ESPN.
Hey,
hey,
Victor.
Hey, what's up? First off, the Lakers, yeah, they looked like crazy amazing. They actually look dominant. I feel like everybody's working on all cylinders, and if they play like that, I don't see any series going seven games, to be honest with you. And another thing, I feel like instead of J.R. Smith's minutes, they should give that to Deion Waiters. I don't know.
Well, Waiters is a better offensive player. He has more game, but J.R.'s more familiar with LeBron.
And I think they just wanted JR to get some shots. I mean, it was a blowout game. They wanted JR to get some shots. I think he's less likely to play critical minutes in a key playoff series than Deion Waiters is. I expect to see Deion Waiters on a pretty regular basis.
I don't know about that.
Oh, really?
I think we'll see. I mean, Deion played a lot last night because the game was a blowout. But in game three, he didn't play much. Well, we'll see. I think that those guys are kind of battling for the same minute.
Well, the one thing that'll be interesting is when Rajon Rondo is healthy, and I think he has been ruled unlikely for tomorrow night as he deals with back spasms. You know, the one thing Rondo does really well is he can handle the ball when LeBron is off the floor. And that's where the Lakers have struggled. That's sort of the role that without Rondo, Deion was playing. Now I think Rondo can settle back into that role. And you're right, we may see less Deion Waiters at that point.
Thanks for the phone call, Victor. Here's Jason in Downey. Hey, Jason, you're on 710 ESPN.
Boys, boy, do I hope Joaquin has been watching.
Oh, yeah!
Joaquin!
Where is Joaquin?
Last week you guys labeled me the anti-Joaquin, and I was not fazed after that first game. Yesterday just made it known there is nobody beating this team, especially in the seven-game series. And there's actually also, I wanted to point out, you guys talk about playoff Bron, and I'm sure Lindsay can attest to this. There's also playoff Bron in a black jersey, which is just a whole nother level.
Yeah.
Boy, after their diversity they faced in game two, and they came back when LeBron had no sweat, there's no team beating this team.
Wait,
there's no nobody.
All right, thanks, Jason, for the phone call. Did he just say after the diversity they faced?
Yeah, they faced a lot of diversity, a lot of different people.
Did he mean to say adversity?
No, I think he meant diversity. I'm going to defend the caller. I think he meant diversity.
That the Blazers have a lot of different races and creeds on their team?
Different races, right, and they had to deal with
black guys, white guys, Euros, you know.
Exactly.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah, heavy on the diversity.
Yeah, John in Huntington Beach. Hey, John, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Thank you very much for having me on the line. My big thing is against Charles Barkley. He is the biggest anti-Laker fan I think I've ever heard out of any broadcaster. He is constantly putting us down. He wishes for us to lose, and he made guarantees that we were going to lose. And I got to tell you, I was so happy to see him take that smile
John,
off his
John,
face.
John, you're looking at this completely wrong. Every time Barkley picks a team to lose, that team wins. He is never right. He he said Portland was going to sweep the Lakers and broke out a
broom
after game one that Shaq then snapped in half. You want Barkley to guarantee that your team is about to lose because that means It's set in stone that you're going to win. Let him talk all he wants. He's wrong. I mean, he's wrong more than Mason in fantasy football.
Hey, wait a minute. Don't lump me in with Barkley.
Yeah, John, we want Barkley to pick against us. Trust me.
Yeah, I know. It's just his attitude toward us has always been negative. Always. I mean, he was the biggest sportscaster against Kobe Bryant that I ever saw. Now that everything has changed, he's changed a little, but I think he changed because of all the pressure. I don't think he changed because he wanted to. I just think he's always been anti-Laker all the time.
All right, thanks, John, for the
now,
phone call.
Now, I don't know. Has Charles Barkley always been anti-Laker?
No, you know what he's been, believe it or not? Anti-Warrior. He's like,
right. You
can never win a championship with just guys shooting threes.
Yeah.
He goes, you cannot do it. And so then the Warriors ended up going to the finals 5 years in a row, and he picked against them every time. He picked against them when they had Durant. I mean, Charles, you want Charles to pick against you if you're the Lakers.
Sorry. I tried to hit my cough button when I sneezed, but.
Salute.
Really?
Oh,
you just sneezed in the microphone.
Just
all right.
Sneezed.
Coming up next, Playoff P.
Playoff P
takes the court again tonight.
Lemon Pepper Lou.
Lap Dance Lou will be out there. Playoff P will be out there as the Clippers are tied at two with the Dallas Mavericks. But there is somebody out there who thinks Playoff P's nickname should be something else, something other than Playoff P.
Okay.
And he has put together a song that we'll play for you next.
Fantastic. Coming up next for you. Then we got Radio Tinder. And then at the top of the hour, Clinton Yates is going to join us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. By the way, I love that Keyshawn morning show. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. John, I DVR that show so I can listen to it when I wake up.
Sure you do.
Yeah. I hear everything else. I hear Greenberg. I hear Max. Sedano and LZ.
I couldn't sleep at all last night, so I saw that show come in the air live.
Did you really?
Yeah, at like 3 in the morning.
You are pathetic, man. You are missing out on such sleep.
Yeah, I wish I could. I wish I could sleep.
Yeah, such sleep.
All right, so Mace, as you know, it's never a good idea to come up with your own nickname.
Correct.
It never works. It never sticks. You know, you can get a license plate that says D Swing on it, but no one is going to call you that. All right. So it seems weird that Paul George tried to nickname himself Playoff P because he's never done much in the playoffs.
Correct.
Matter of fact, that Gatorade commercial he's in is probably the most success he's ever had in the playoffs, is in a commercial.
Gatorade commercial.
He is struggling beyond belief in this Clippers series against Dallas. He can't make a shot. So this song opened the Lebatard show this morning, the Dan Lebatard show. We don't air it in Los Angeles, so some of you guys see it on TV. But since it has to do with the Clippers and it has to do with Paul George, I give to you, Mace, not Playoff P, but Pandemic P. This was put together by Andrew Streeter. Hit it, Jorge.
Poor old soul Kawhi. Seems sad in San Antonio. Got a ring up in Toronto. The Canucks all cried. When he left there, who'd blame them? Gone home, got Paul George. Expectations higher than ever. Tied 2-2, they're tied 2-2. Going 3-for-14, he just can't seem to hit anything. Clips are their best while he's getting some rest. Guess Kawhi has to do everything. Pandemic P, a cancer to the team. Shots aren't falling for Pandemic P. Luka tore them to shreds, did it.
think? Pandemic P.
Pandemic P. I love it, man. I love it.
Pandemic P in three games, 4 for 17, 3 for 16, 3 for 14.
Pandemic P.
That song was like the lamest thing I've ever heard. Sorry.
What are you talking about?
Come on, Lindsay.
What are you? What are you talking about?
Lame.
Let's take a vote.
Wait a minute. Take a vote. I say not lame. Jorge.
Really?
Not lame.
I say not lame. Lindsay, what say you?
I just think they could have found us something a little bit more up to date than Come On, Eileen. Just saying.
Well, Lindsay, you're our producer. Why don't you come up with a song?
Yeah, where's your Pandemic P song?
Their producer came up with a Pandemic P song.
Their song is lame.
What are we doing on our end? Are you working on a song?
I didn't know I was supposed to be working on a song.
Yes, we're supposed to be working on songs. That's part of what we do.
Well, now that you give me some input, that's great to know that you want a song. This is the first I'm hearing of it. I will work on it immediately.
Yes, how's your singing voice?
Terrible. I would never sing a song.
Oh, what are you talking about? Give it a shot. No. You never know.
Yeah, no, you never know, Linz.
I know I'm a bad singer.
That guy wasn't a fine vocalist.
I disagree. I think you're an excellent singer. Let's hear something.
Jorge, what about you? Can you write a song?
I'll try, sure.
Okay, good. So Jorge's writing a song. Lindsay's writing a song. Then they're going to go head-to-head, and we'll see which one's
better.
And you
have to write a song, too.
I have to write a song.
No, we've been doing this for 30 years. We're out of songs.
I've done 20,000 shows. I've done every song I could do.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. When's the last time you did a song?
When is the last
time? Have you ever done a song?
No, of course we have.
Of course we have.
You've written songs before.
When do you want to buy?
When we did a sing-off. Even Amanda participated, Lindsay. We did a Christmas song.
And you wrote your own songs.
No, we sang Christmas songs.
You said writing songs. It's totally different.
Yeah, well, we're not producers. You're a producer, so that's what you're supposed to do.
So only producers can write songs.
Correct.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Got it.
Be like Dan Lebatard's producer, write a song.
Yeah, I don't know if that was a producer. I think that was a listener.
It was definitely a listener because I heard it.
Okay, so let me make this announcement then. If you can create a song.
A Pandemic P song especially.
Yeah, or a song. You could do a song about the Lakers. You could do a song about Lemon Pepper Lou. You can do a song. Anything you want. Anything you want. You can tweet it to...
Email it to you.
Email it to me. VeniceMace@gmail.com. Just send me an MP3. VeniceMace@gmail.com, and then we'll have a song, because I'm not confident that Lindsay's going to be able to deliver on this. I think Jorge is going to come up with a song.
That's like a listener thing. That's not, producers have better things to do than write songs about Pandemic P.
I disagree. More important for you to do than write a song about Pandemic P.
Parody songs. That's an old producer trick.
Keep them clean, though. Keep them clean.
So cheesy.
Yeah, keep them clean. Keep them clean. Absolutely.
Well, back to 1989. Let's do our best parody song.
I don't know. It's working for Dan Lebatard.
Yeah,
Dan Lebatard is not exactly the same thing as the Mason and Ireland show. Just saying. They're a little bit different demographic, a little bit different style.
What are you talking about? What's the demographic? What's the style? What is that?
Have you listened to Dan Lebatard's show?
Of course, and I see his TV show every day, too.
And you're comparing your show to Dan Lebatard's show.
I'm saying that we have a big, full room of people talking the way he's got a big, full room of people talking. I don't think we are as Lebatard qualified as Lebatard is. I mean, he's obviously a national show and all that business. But no, I think we're absolutely comparable. John, don't you think we're comparable to Dan Lebatard?
The content of the show is very different. Extremely different.
How so?
It's just very different. It's very unique and...
Oh, so you're saying we're not unique. You're working on a show that's not unique. Is that what you're saying?
I just think that they're a little bit... They're very edgy. They're different. They do weird things. It's just a different show.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to put it.
Okay. They do songs, and you're, as a producer, going to come up with a song.
Yeah.
John, you do a limerick.
I have done many limericks.
Okay. You're the king. You should be able to do a limerick about Playoff P.
All right, I'll come up with one. Tomorrow's show, I will have a Playoff P limerick. I'm actually looking forward to writing it.
Yeah. God, I hope he goes 2 for 17 tonight. That would be so awesome. All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. This is where Lindsay.
Maybe she'll have a song.
a future songwriter here on Mason and Ireland. We'll bring us a bunch of stuff that we haven't talked about in Radio Tinder, and then at 3 o'clock, Clinton Yates is going to join us. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, it's time for Radio Tinder. This is where Lindsay throws us a bunch of stuff. And Lindsay, what do you got today?
Well, I will say that I don't have a song. Sorry to disappoint.
No song. All right.
No songs yet. So, yeah, don't hold your breath on that one.
Not going to.
But one thing that I'm sure Dan Le Batard talks about all the time on his show is Bella Thorne and OnlyFans. Do you guys know who Bella Thorne is?
I think so.
Do you know what OnlyFans is?
I don't.
Yes, I do.
See.
Okay, so we're like
yes. In other words, she's doing a kind of a private channel for her stuff.
For her fans, yeah. Bella Thorne recently launched her own page on the subscription-only social media platform OnlyFans. Thorne racked up a whopping $1 million in the first 24 hours of creating her account, becoming the first user to ever make that much money in the first day of the platform.
So, Ireland, do you get this? In other words, she opened a private Twitter channel and then charges people to join her exclusive club to see her exclusive content.
Okay.
Yep. And she actually briefly crashed the site, which is kind of crazy. OnlyFans is best known for its X-rated content, though celebrities like Cardi B, for example, are using the platform solely to share exclusive personal content with fans. Basically, they'll have like a live chat with fans where you can ask them things. You can ask them to do, you know, give specific shout outs, stuff like that. And you pay a subscription fee. And Bella Thorne made a crap ton of money doing that.
Is she doing porn on it, or is she doing other stuff? She's not. Okay.
She said she actually opened the account as research for an upcoming film. And she said that she's not completely against, you know, showing any racy videos or images, but the sole reason why she's doing it is for research for an upcoming film and like the impact that it has on people's life, especially people that could be from, you know, like the middle of Wyoming, and then you all of a sudden get famous on OnlyFans or make a bunch of money off of it. So it's a completely like unique, different, weird way for people to make money. And I guess I wanted to ask you guys, knowing how much money can be made, would you ever create a PG-rated OnlyFans page?
Oh, Mason,
swipe left
this
or
has,
swipe right.
Mason, this has you written all over it.
Yeah, it does.
Because it helps you. It helps your brand, and it helps you make you more famous.
Here's the thing. I have a tough enough time filling up my social media stuff as it is. Like, I don't use Instagram enough. I should be on Instagram more. I use Twitter plenty. I hardly use Facebook. So I'm not doing a very good job of expanding my brand. I will. The Culture Pop podcast is doing really well, though. But here's the thing. Most of those fans-only sites are porn. Is that not true?
If, again, there's a lot of – that's for, I guess, like the average person, but a lot of celebrities have jumped on the OnlyFans bandwagon, not fans only, it's OnlyFans. You know, and they're not. They don't have to. They're just – like I said, they're just using it to
like
as a different way to interact with their fans.
Bella Thorne's not doing porn, right?
Correct.
Right.
Let's just be clear here. Bella Thorne is not doing porn on her private channel.
So, Mace, you could follow her model.
Or Cardi B. Cardi B specifically says...
Well, Cardi B,
if she's on there
singing that WAP song...
Yeah, and I saw something Cardi B put on a social network the other day.
Well, are you kidding me? That song?
That was rated triple X. No, it was just her doing a commentary about what women should
and should
not
do. I saw that. Have you listened to the song?
Yes.
The Wet and Gushy song?
Yes.
Sure, but again, for, you know, a part of whatever, millennial, Gen X, Z, whatever kids these days are called, like, that's not, like, the stuff that you guys are like, whoa, that song, have you heard it? That's, like, everyday dialogue for like, the teenager these days.
Yeah, what I saw Cardi B do is not everyday dialogue, but...
If it's allowed on social media channels, then it's obviously not X-rated. If you saw it on I don't know what site you're going on that you're seeing triple X-rated content, John.
John.
Unless you saw it on something that was specifically branded as a porn site, right?
No, I follow this website because it gives me lots of stuff for like The Scoop and back when we were doing Fast Track, and I follow this website, BSO, Black Sports Online.
Sure.
That's where I saw it. They posted it.
Right, they probably reposted something that was already on Instagram or Twitter or whatever.
Right, but this was Triple X. And the interesting thing, Mace, about this deal is you wouldn't get paid to increase your Instagram or increase your Facebook. You'd get paid to do this OnlyFans thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to say no on this because here's the thing about me. I'm for the people. I'm not for some exclusive group of people that have to pay X amount a month to be able to get my content. I'm free.
Why not?
I'm free. I'm free and open to the public.
There's a lot of celebrities that are like ditching their other traditional forms of social media altogether and basically using them to just promote their OnlyFans because, you know, Bella Thorne, she's only had this for a week and she's made like $20 million.
Yeah, I don't think I've got her profile.
Sure, but the point being, you could still actually make a lot of money, make a good living off of this. There's plenty of people that make, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
I swipe left. John, what about you?
I swipe left, too, because I don't want to do more work.
Jorge?
I swipe left, too. I'm with John. I don't want to do more work.
Yeah. So, Lindsay, we will watch for your fans-only page coming soon.
It's OnlyFans, Mace.
Yeah, and we're leaving that all to you.
All right. I'm on it. All right.
Write a song while you're on it.
Write a song while you're there.
But you can only see the song if you subscribe to my own.
I'll subscribe to your page if you write a song.
If you write a song, I'll subscribe.
Deal. I'm on it. All right. So during a company dinner in Beijing on Thursday, a new employee at a Chinese international bank said that his boss demanded he ordered an alcoholic beverage. When he refused, another executive slapped him. The incident, which was shared on social media, prompted a broad reflection on a professional drinking culture in China that rewards excessive drinking and alienates those who do not imbibe. If certain, quote, cultures or rituals come at the expense of health and mortality, can you still call it culture? Swipe left or swipe right?
It's a great question.
Wow.
I will swipe right for this reason. There are some things, like, this was the big, Mace, there are some things that are accepted practice in Japan and China that would never be allowed here, particularly things with women.
There's a lot of porn in Japan.
Well, no, I'm not talking about porn. I'm talking about how women...
You're buying out the gutter today, Mace. Yeah.
I'm talking about, like, you know, there are certain things that are part of the quote-unquote culture in China that would be illegal in America.
Okay, like what?
Well, I mean, for example, when you read all that stuff about the NBA and all the things that were going on in the basketball leagues in China, you couldn't get away with that stuff here. You'd be fired immediately. But in China, it's part of the culture.
Yeah, I mean, culturally, it is different. Like, for example, in Japan, there's some sushi from a fancy fish that if you get the wrong piece of it, you'll die. I forget what – it's like a blowfish, right?
Right.
And you take a chance. You've got like a 10% chance of dying when you eat the Japanese blowfish. So I think that's probably culturally something that you risk in order to eat the blowfish.
Lindsay, I would say that there are things that go on in other countries that we would never tolerate in America, but – they tolerate it in their countries, and we can't dictate culture to other people. So that's why I swiped right. I don't think you'd, you know, for example, if you went to work for a company in America and your boss said, hey, get a drink, you pansy, and you said no, and some guy slapped you, you'd probably get an assault charge thrown at you. But in China, that may be allowed. Who knows?
Which reminds me of a great story, if we got a minute here. So, John, you know this story. So
the Bo Bennett story?
Yeah, so I was at Dodger spring training, and there's like a meeting
room. This was pretty funny.
And Peter O'Malley was there, and Tommy Lasorda was there, and we were all, you know, chatting. And Bo Bennett, who was our boss at that point, said, come on, Mason, get a drink. And I'm like, no, I really don't drink when I'm on the job, and I feel like I'm, no, come on, Mason, don't be a, get a drink. And I passed, but I said, here's the thing, Bo, let's go out tonight and we'll get drunk. And Bo's like, okay, cool. So we go to TGI Fridays, which is one of the classiest joints around.
Yeah. In Vero Beach might be the only bar open.
We go to TGI Fridays and, I order a, shot of tequila and we each drink a shot of tequila. And so we're off and running. Now, I go to the can, and I pull the waitress aside, and I say, listen, the rest of the night, bring him real tequila and bring me just water in a shot glass. And so all night
tricky,
long.
Tricky, tricky guy.
All night long, we drank. He got hammereder and hammereder and hammereder.
He had to be carried out of the bar.
Yes. Had to be carried home. Missed a couple of days. He was so sick. But you cannot drink Mason under the table, especially when he is doing shots of tap water.
It's a good old bartender trick.
Yes, it is. You got
all right,
another
next
one?
Story. Yep. The capital of Netherlands has installed hemp-filled urinals in public outdoor locations around the city as a means of combating the long-time problem of wild peeing. Urban Senses installed 12 green pee urinals in locations around Amsterdam that were identified by local officials as hotspots for public urination. So these green pee urinals resemble planters, and they're filled with hemp. And they just kind of have what looks like a kind of like a garbage can opening, and with
so
like
you
a
just
little...
go, you just basically go wherever.
Yeah.
In the hemp.
It's like
urine.
A giant in the hemp planter. Camps. Yep. And they offer a sustainable alternative to traditional public urinals, as they use less water. They create green spaces for bees and other insects, and they also produce organic fertilizer, and they water the plants. Should they bring green pee urinals to Southern California? Swipe left or swipe right?
I'm going to swipe left. I don't think I want to see somebody on my street corner doing their business in a hemp can. I think it sounds like a terrible idea.
Yeah. I'll tweet out a picture of what they look like.
But here's the thing. Why would we want more people urinating publicly? I mean, go find a bathroom.
Well, they're supposed to take the place of it. So they're basically something that's going to – I mean, they're a urinal disguised as planters.
Yeah. Here's the thing
about. I think your people are going to do it anyway. I think that's the idea.
Here's the thing about Amsterdam. Weird stuff goes down there. Like for example, I've been there a few times, and they've got hash bars. Obviously, I think everybody knows that at this point. And there's one particular hash bar where, when you walk out, to your left is a McDonald's, and to your right is a McDonald's. There is a McDonald's on both sides of this hash bar, meaning that once you're stoned, you cannot walk anywhere without walking by a McDonald's and, of course, breaking down and going in. Yeah, Amsterdam's a crazy town with all different rules. They can pee in their hemp bowls all they want, but they're not coming here.
Yeah, I swipe left, Lindsay. I don't want more urinals.
All right, I'm tweeting out a picture now. I'll see if you guys change your mind once you see what it looks like.
Okay, cool.
That's all for radio.
How's the song coming?
It's going great.
Good.
I got like 3 bars already.
Nice, nice. You're actually writing notes. That's impressive. All right, coming up next for you, Clinton Yates is going to join us. We'll talk some NBA. Last night, Lakers with a big dominating win over the Portland Trailblazers. They take a 3-1 series lead. And, of course, bubbling around right now, and NBA players are talking about it. Jacob Blake, who was shot 8 times in the back in Kenosha, Wisconsin on Sunday. There are rumors that possibly at least one team and maybe multiple teams will choose to boycott a game to call attention to this senseless shooting. So we got that coming up for you with Clinton Yates next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.